Hello, this is Terry Cheek, pastor of Calvary Baptist Church in Marion, North Carolina. I want to thank you for choosing our broadcast, and my prayer is that it will be an encouragement to your walk with the Lord. Comments or questions can be directed to me via the link on our sermon audio page. Now, on to your selection.
But let's go to God's Word tonight. I will read verses 13 through 17 out of God's Word, and then we'll move over to the study guide. And we will go from that along with the Word of God, and we will understand a little better about the dragon. Word of God says, "And when the dragon saw that he was cast into the earth, he persecuted the woman which brought forth the man-child. And to the woman were given two wings of a great eagle, that she might fly into the wilderness, into her place, where she is nourished for a time and times and half a time from the face of the serpent. And the serpent cast out of his mouth water as a flood after the woman, that he might cause her to be carried away of the flood. And the earth helped the woman, and the earth opened her mouth and swallowed up the flood, which the dragon cast out of his mouth. And the dragon was wroth with the woman, and went to make war with the remnant of her seed, which keep the commandments of God, and have the testimony of Jesus Christ." May God add blessings to the reading of His Word tonight. You know, Satan is an enemy. And like all enemies, he is not understanding of anything that happens to him. Now, having been cast away from the throne of God and onto the earth, we see tonight the force and the focus of his rage. Now remember from last week, we saw where there was a fight, a battle in heaven. And God cast Satan out. Michael actually defeated him, and the angels defeated him and cast him out. And just to kind of refresh your memory, Satan had already been cast out of heaven because of his rebellion against God in trying to overthrow heaven. Yet, he had access to the throne of God. Remember Job, when the devil showed up at the throne of God and challenged God, saying that he could make Job disown him, make Job curse him? Well, now, God in his wisdom and in his timing has seen fit. At this point, it's the 3.5 year point in the tribulation, God cast Satan completely away from heaven. He no longer has any access to heaven. He has been exiled totally and completely. He has been cast down to the earth, and he is angry. Now, when I read that first, a thought came to mind. Why would Satan be so angry at being cast down to earth? I mean, after all, he created this mess. It's the devil, through his temptation of the find the creation and fall of man, that created all of this chaos. Now, at the 3.5 year mark of the tribulation, all of the problems that were created were a judgment of Satan and a judgment of the earth and a judgment of Satan's creations. So, why would the old devil be so angry at being cast down into the midst of his creation? And then the thought came to me. Of course he would be angry. He wants to stay at a distance, and he wants to create this mess, and he wants to destroy God's creation. God's creation of the earth, God's creation of people. He wants to destroy and tear down the church, and he wants to destroy and mess up everything that God has created, but he wants to keep a safe distance. He doesn't want it to involve him. He doesn't want it to affect him in any way, shape, form, or fashion. So here God casts him out and puts him right in the middle of the mess he's created. So the old devil's angry. He is angry, and he is looking for vengeance. And that vengeance is directed at Israel. when we see within God's word the woman which brought forth the man-child, that is a picture of Israel. The man-child, of course, is Christ. The devil went after him, goes after him, will go after Israel, much greater than he is today. Today we see Israel being in the middle of a whole bunch of controversy, a whole bunch of issues, where the UN is trying to create this two-state solution with all of the fighting over there and everything going on. The devil's trying to stir up Israel, trying to destroy Israel, trying to take Israel down. But there's one thing that's holding him back right now, and that's the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is still moving about the face of the earth and still moving about in a mighty force, because until the rapture of the church takes place, the devil's going to have a big restraint placed upon him. The Holy Spirit's going to be holding him back. So, for where we're at tonight, we can see from the 6 o'clock news that Israel has its problems, but Israel has no problems at all compared to what they're going to have. But yet, they are protected by God. And we're going to see that in our text tonight. By the way, just as a little side note, if you're ever really interested in what's going on in Israel, don't worry about NBC, ABC, CBS. Don't even worry about Fox News or CNN. Go to the internet and type in the Jerusalem Post. It'll take you there and you'll get to see what's going on in Israel from the mouths of those who live there themselves. Jerusalem Post is a very interesting newspaper. I subscribed to it for a long time. And it was really interesting to get the newspaper delivered and see what was going on in Israel from a perspective of those that live there. And pay attention to it and read it and then balance that out with what our secular news would show. Big difference in what the two would report. On the same subject, on the same headline. Big difference. Just a little side note for you to think about when you hear something about Israel. Now, we know that Israel is the woman. And we know that the fight is going to be directed against Israel. And we know that the fight's going to be directed also against the saints of God. We also see that Satan cannot touch Christ, cannot touch the man-child. So he attacks Israel, thinking that attacking Israel and tearing Israel down will somehow vindicate what's happened to him. But when we stop for a few moments and when we think about the unfolding divine truth that's revealed in this passage, it is something really eye-opening. You see, the Bible itself, going back to Genesis, begins with the story of the woman Eve. And that story includes the serpent, Satan. And that story also includes the promise of a seed, the promised Savior. Well, before us tonight, in this passage we've just read, we get to witness it coming to a full circle. We get to trace the Eden struggle to its end, to its climax tonight. Because this is the beginning of that climax. There are three factors that we find in this passage tonight. Three things that come into view, and we're going to look at those three tonight along with some points that come out of our study guide. First, within our study guide on verse 13, we've already covered a good bit of the introduction out of verse 13. When that dragon, Satan, saw that he had been cast to the earth, he persecuted the woman who gave birth to the man-child. He took it out on the nation of Israel, or he will take it out on the nation of Israel in that day and in that age. But there's going to be something happen to Israel at that time. In verse 14, we see that Israel is given wings of a great eagle. Now, those wings, that is a picture of God's provincial protection of Israel. It is a protection of being covered with the wings of eagles. Protection. That there is a divine coverage. There is something there that is mightier than Satan, that is taking care of Israel, and that is moving Israel out of the way. But what it also tells us is it is a time of woe that is getting ready to take place. Satan has always detested Israel, and at this point his animosity and his antagonism is more than obvious with everyone in the world. Having been cast to earth, in the presence of his destruction, in the presence of his chaos, the devil himself takes it upon himself to personally supervise the bloodbath of the Jewish people and persecute the planet. When we come in to verse 14, and the woman were given the two wings of a great eagle that she might fly into the wilderness, and there she is protected, she is nourished for time, times, and half a time, for 3.5 years. That's what that phrase means. Times, and half a time. And she is protected there. So God is going to protect Israel, cover Israel with his wings, and he is going to make sure that Israel is nourished, that Israel is taken care of and Israel is hidden. Well, when we consider that, we've got to know then realize that this is not only a time of woe for Israel, but it is also a time of tribulation, that there's a tribulation that's afflicted and is set up with this woe. Now, we see that this woman, we see that Israel is pushed into the wilderness, like you and I are often pushed into wildernesses. We're often pushed into areas where we can't handle things. We don't know how to handle things. The devil is camped out in our lives, camped out in our backyards, camped out in our families. And we're struggling. But because we're children of God, because we're saints of God, because we're saved by grace through faith tonight, God gives us that same provincial care that we're reading here in the future that he will give to Israel. Now, granted, our times and our tribulations aren't as difficult as what Israel's is going to be, nor is it as difficult as what Israel's has been. But we see that God has a plan and a purpose, and he always uses that phrase and that term Israel and wilderness to show deliverance. Remember Egypt? Israel fled Egypt and went into the wilderness. That is where Moses led them. God parted the Red Sea. God led the enemy, Egypt, into the Red Sea and crashed it right down on top of them, eliminating them, destroying them. Flash forward, move ahead to Jesus. Jesus was born. Jesus was raised up. He was a toddler. Though the king, Herod, was going to kill him. Herod wanted to know where the new king was that had been born in the city of David. And he sent his people out to just slaughter the toddlers. An angel came to Mary and Joseph and told them to take the child, the Messiah, and flee into the wilderness, into Egypt, and stay there until they were called for. It is not uncommon for God to send his people into the wilderness and provide them with protection in that wilderness for a time or for a season in order to take care of them, to teach them, to nurture them, to nourish them. Notice in the great tribulation, she is nourished for that period of time. Folks, when we have trouble in our life and we have difficulties in our life and God places us in the midst of these wildernesses, whatever it may be, God puts us there. He's putting us there so he can nourish us. He's putting us there so he can nurture us. He's putting us there so he can humble us. He's putting us there so he can use us and create within us a vessel that he can use to move his word and propagate his word among the world around us. So the difficulties and the struggles and the trials and the tribulations that we have in life are experiences that God allows so that we can better serve him. Yes, there's chastisement. Yes, there are all of those other things. But tonight I'm talking about God using the circumstances of the persecutions of this world in order to take his people and strengthen them and grow and create within them a courageous body of believers that he works through in order to propagate his word among mankind. That's what you and I and the body of Christ work with tonight. That's how wilderness, that's how it relates into our lives tonight, here and now. Well, when we look at this, we see how badly Israel will be hated. It's hard to think that they're going to be hated any worse than they are right now. The UN does not want Israel. The UN hates Israel. The UN wants to take Israel and they want to give Jerusalem to the Muslims. They have a mosque sitting on top of Mount Moriah right beside of the place where the temple foundation sits. They claim a portion of that and they claim Jerusalem for their own. Well, the UN wants to give it to them. The UN wants to give it to the Arabs, to the Muslims, if you will. And they want to push Israel back and push them away. Now you stop and you think, why? Israel doesn't attack anyone. Israel doesn't withhold anything from anyone. Israel sits there and they have their borders and they try to protect their borders and they try to protect their people and they try to go on with life and they try to live it and they try to protect their people and they just try to peacefully be there. And they constantly are told, well, you have to give this back, or you have to give that back. You have to give up this much property. You have to give up that much property. And Israel winds up giving it up. But yet they don't stop and think, and neither does the media, and neither do the governments of the world. That small piece of property that Israel occupies tonight is a mere fraction of the property that God has given Israel. When we go in and we look at a map of Israel and we read God's word, God has given and assigned to Israel a portion of the property that extends just after the Nile River, all the way up into the river Euphrates, and those rivers that go over into Iraq. God says that's what he has given to Abraham's seed. That's what he's given to Israel. And yet the world tonight refuses to even read that out of God's word. They've refused to even acknowledge it exists. But God one day will assign that to his people. Why will they be hated so badly at the 3.5-year mark of the tribulation? Because the devil knows that God has assigned the property, the authority, the area. God knows that he has used this, the devil knows God has used this people to propagate Jesus Christ and salvation around the world in redemption. And the devil wants to destroy it and bring it to an end. And his way of doing it is to destroy the people, destroy the nation. Not only are they hated and they will be hated, but they are hunted. They're hunted tonight. And they will be even greatly hunted in this area and in this time. We see from our study guide, the serpent spewed out water out of its mouth like a flood after the woman. If you get into what's called eschatology. you see that the word water, when it is used like sea in the Bible and in the book of Revelation particularly, refers to people, refers to a multitude of people. The devil takes a multitude of people that he has control over and he spews them out. He sends them after Israel with an intention of destroying them, that he might cause her to be carried away, to be done away with. That great army is going to come against Israel like a flood, but it will be swallowed up. It will be absorbed. Some scholars feel like that absorption will be in the great earthquakes and the natural disasters that will be taking place during this time, that God will create those to swallow up the armies that are coming after Israel, trying to catch and catch Israel and destroy them. I don't know how God's going to do it, but I know when I read God's word and it says in there that they will be destroyed, they will be stopped, that the earth will help the woman in verse 16. I have no doubt in my mind, however God has it laid out tonight, that's what he will do. Likewise tonight, in our situations, here on this side of the tribulation, God has things in place to take care of us. God has things in place to help you and I. God has the body of Christ to encourage one another. The Word of God, our Bibles, to lift us up and inspire us. We have the promise of things that are going to come. The promise of the rapture. The promise of eternity with our loved ones, with our Lord and with our Savior tonight. Yes, there will be difficulties. Yes, there will be difficulties this side of the tribulation, and those difficulties are only going to be magnified when the tribulation comes. And we have to have our hearts right so that we can pray and we can seek God's will and God's work in the lives of those that remain. Because honestly, and I know it's been said my whole life and yours too probably, the rapture could come at any moment. But let's stop and think realistically tonight. We know that for the things in the tribulation to happen, the whole world is going to have to be available to see it. At no point in time in my life has technology been so enhanced that things can be viewed real time around the world. Go to any website you want to. Turn your television on. The major news networks at any moment can go anywhere around the world and have live feeds of things taking place in the world. We don't have to wait on a delayed report. When I was a child, the 6 o'clock news, what we watched on the 6 o'clock news may be a couple of days old by the time they got the film footage made and they got it back and they got it processed and they got it edited and they got it ready for the news. At the best, it was 24 hours. Now it's live. It's real time. We have the technology in place to take care of all of the things that will be coming. The mark of the beast that we will get to and study. All of the events that are taking place inside the Word of God, the realization of the life dying out, being poisoned, the wars that will claim 1/3 of humanity. We have the weapons in place tonight to wipe humanity off the face of the earth, if God were to permit it. Even a country as small as North Korea tonight has nuclear weapons. As a matter of fact, last week they threatened to use those nuclear weapons against the United States. The United States is in South Korea, our own military, and we're conducting joint military training with the South Koreans. The leader of North Korea said if one bullet crosses into the North Korean territory, they will consider it an act of war and they will use nuclear weapons. That is how volatile people are. How much they're waiting. They're wanting to see this kind of destruction. The devil is stirring up an appetite. At any time, Jesus could call his church home. That's a reality that has never been this obvious. Not in my life. How close we are, I don't know. But I know the reality of it has never been greater than it is right now for me in my life. Well, not only is there going to be a time of this woe and a tribulation, but we also see some good news. We see that there's going to be a triumph that's going to come. When we look in verses 17, and the dragon was wroth, angry with the woman, and went to make war with the remnant of her seed, Christians, the church, the remnant of the woman. We see that her offspring, the church, are those who keep the commandments of God, and they have the testimony of Jesus Christ. Let's think about something for a moment. Here comes the old devil. And the devil's coming after the remnant, coming after the Christians, coming after Israel. What's the devil really going to do with them? What's the devil really going to do with you tonight? What's he going to do with me? Yes, he wants to destroy us. He wants to destroy us tonight to keep the gospel from being spread. But in either case, destroying is destroying. Let's think about something. If the old devil comes in tonight and sends an army in and takes us all out in handcuffs and locks us up, what does he do? Like the Apostle Paul, he puts us in a spot where we can convert the jailers. Okay. Suppose he comes and he takes us and he tortures us. Not to death, but just tortures us. Then we have within our hearts the glory of knowing that we have been partakers with Christ's sufferings. The victory of Jesus means that much more. Okay, suppose that doesn't work and he wants to take lives. He wants to martyr us. He martyrs some. What happens? They go straight to Christ. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. We get martyred and we leave this world and we go into eternity. Okay, so the devil don't like that. What's he going to do next? Release us? He releases us and what do? We go about our business of evangelizing the world. The devil doesn't win. The devil cannot win. The devil cannot win in your life struggles, putting struggles in front of you tonight. The devil can't win. Jesus has claimed and has established the victory for you, for me tonight, for all of the saints of God. It's been established. It's been done. Glory to God. We've got something to praise Him about. The devil is done. Victory. Victory belongs to God. It's not going to belong to God. But it does belong to God tonight through Jesus Christ. In the midst of the issues in your life, in my life, the issues of the world around us, victory is there. As saints of God, we can worship tonight in a spirit of victory. A spirit of victory that came through the blood of Jesus Christ. A spirit of victory that we have because we believe in Him as our Lord and as our Savior. So, if we find ourselves feeling defeated, the us think about those things. It doesn't matter what the devil puts in front of us. He may frustrate us. He may harm us. He may pull us down. He may make us question. But in reality, if we stop and if we back up and if we just say, wait a minute, God, bring this to memory. Bring chapter 12, verses 13 through 17 of Revelation back to memory in my life, in my heart. We'll see that we're facing nothing compared to what the Israel and those Christians in that heart of tribulation are going to face. And we read firsthand their response and how God's going to take care of them. And we know tonight that we are on this side of that tribulation and we still have the Holy Spirit indwelling in our hearts and in our lives and taking care of and restraining the devil in this world. We have victory. Christians and Israel in this day have victory. They will have victory. God and the children of God, be it Jew or Gentile, will have